So let's review. Zok the Mishnah, Shor Shenagach Es HaPara V'Nimtza Urba Betzida. If an ox gores a cow, and a dead calf was found next to her, V'En Yedua Imat Shalai Nakha Yalda Im Mishnah Nakha Yalda. And we don't know whether she miscarried before she was gored, and so the owner of the ox is not liable for the calf, or she miscarried as a result of the goring, and so the owner of the ox is liable for the calf as well. Mishalm Chatzi Nezik LaPara U'Revia Nezik LaVlad. He pays half the damages for the cow, for which he is certainly liable, and only a quarter of the damages of the calf, because it's questionable whether he's liable. And as the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Zud Divri Sumchis De Amar Mamen Hamut Basafik Chalkin. As Taisus explains, Beloy Tanusim Ro Listapik. The circumstances here are inherently unclear even without their respective claims. And so Sumchis holds that we divide the disputed sum between both parties. Avachachamim Ayrim, Zeh Kla Gadol Badin, Hamitza Mechaver Olav Haraya. The Chacham disagree and maintain that the burden of proof is always on the claimant, and so he only pays for the cow. The Gemara explains that the term Klal Gadol indicates the extent to which this principle applies. Afel Nizik Oymebari Umazik Oymeshema. Even if the Nizik, the plaintiff, claims to be certain of his claim, and the Mazik, the defendant, is unsure of his claim, we still say Hamoitz Mechaver Olav Haraya, and he's exempt. Alternately, it refers to the following Machlaikis. Hamoicher Shor Lechaver Benim Tzenakim. If someone purchases an ox and subsequently discovers that it's violent and has gored, Rav Amar Hareza Mekechtais, he may return the ox for a refund because it's not suitable for plowing. Shmuel Amar Yochel Sheyemer Lo Lishchit Macharat Avloch. The seller can claim that it was intended for slaughter, and so its goring is irrelevant. The Gemara explains that we can usually determine the buyer's intentions as follows: Igarve Dezavin LaRadya, Igarve Dezavin LaNechsasa, whether he usually buys oxen for labor or for meat. Or idmei radi, idmei nechsasa, whether he paid the higher price of an ox suitable for plowing, or the lower price of an ox for slaughter. However, the machlekes is in the case of gavre dezavin l'radi ula nechsasa, someone who typically buys oxen for both purposes, and the oikur bistra b'koi bidmei radya, the price of meat rose and now equals the price of an ox for plowing. Therefore, Rav says zil basa ruba, the ruba the inchi l'radi hu dezavni. We follow the majority and assume that the ox was bought for plowing, and so mekechtois he can return it. However, Shmuel maintains ki hazlin nebasaruba beisura, alav b'memayna lo hazlin nebasaruba. We only follow the majority regarding prohibitions, but we do not make assumptions based on the majority regarding monetary decisions. Therefore, hamoitz mechaver olav haraya. We apply the major principle of hamoitz mechavera even against a claim supported by a roiv, and the seller is not obligated to refund the money. The Gemara now brings a source for the principle of hamoitz mechaver olav haraya. The pasuk says, "Mi bal dvarm yigash aleihem." The relevant party should approach the bezdin, meaning yagish raya aleihem. He should present his proof. However, the Gemara questions, "Lomali kras svarhu?" A pasuk's not necessary because it's simple logic. The koyv lekiiva oz lebeasya. The one who is in pain goes to the doctor. Similarly, the burden of proof rests on the claimant. Rather, the pasuk teaches another halacha. A niskakin el leteve atchila. As Rashi explains, "Kagain Reuben teve mishimin mana shehelvehu." V'Shimon Meshiva Tefasta Mishali. If Reuben claims that Shimon owes him money, and Shimon responds that Reuben seized some of his belongings, we first deal with Reuben's claim and compel Shimon to pay him, and only then do we deal with Shimon's counterclaim. The Gemara adds, Pa'amim Shenizkakin L'Nitfat Chila, D'Kozili Nichse. Occasionally we do respond to the defendant first, such as if he has a unique opportunity to sell the items in question for a substantial profit, or if repaying the loan will adversely affect his financial standing. The Mishnah continues, V'chein parah shenagcha es hashar v'nimtza vlad b'tzida. If a pregnant cow gores an ox, and we then find a calf at its side, V'ein yedua imat shalei nagcha yalda, ima shenagcha yalda. We don't know whether it gave birth before it gored, and so it can only collect chatzi nezik from the cow, or if it gave birth afterwards, and so the fetus participated in the damage, and is also indebted to pay chatzi nezik migufay. Mishtam chatzi nezik min hapara, u'revia nezik min havlad. He pays half the damages from the cow and a quarter of the damages from the calf. The Gemara wonders, Kule niska neche riva maya vedete. Why should he pay three quarters of the damages? Rav explains that the Mishnah is speaking of a case of paru uvlad dechad. The cow and its calf have one owner. Therefore, ipshita landa have vlad bahadar kinakra mishtam kule chatzi nezik mivlad. If we certainly know that the cow was still pregnant when it gored, the owner must pay chatzi nezik from either the cow or the calf, because as Rava said, parash hazika gave him mivlada. One can collect damages from the fetus of a damaging animal because gufahi, it's part of the cow's body. However, Tana Gaila Shazika in the Gerbe Miritzasa. One cannot collect damages from the egg of a damaging chicken because Pirsha Ba'amahu, it's not part of its body. However, we are discussing a case to Lo Yedinan Ihava Vlad Bahadog Khinarcha Ilohava. We do not know whether the cow was still pregnant when it gored, and so the Mishnah reads as follows. Isa lepara mishtam chatzinesik mipara. If the cow is available for collection, he collects the complete half of the damages from the cow, because the cow certainly gored. However, lesa lepara mishtam revianesik mivlada. If only the calf is available, he only collects a quarter of the damages from the calf, which is half of what he would usually collect. Because it's questionable whether the calf participate in the damage, and sumchas holds, mamen hamut basavik chalken. Abai explains the Mishnah to be speaking of a case of par dechad uvlad dechad. The cow and the calf have separate owners. With halacha is as follows. From the parah he collects echad me'arba benezek. One quarter of the damages as follows. The parah certainly gored, and is therefore liable for the entire chatzinezek. However, since he can claim that the vlad is a partner in the damages, he pays only half of his liability, which is a quarter of the damages. And from the vlad he collects echad mishmoina benezek. One-eighth of the damages, as follows. Even if the vlad was certainly a partner in the damages, he would only pay a quarter of the damages. Therefore, now that it's a suffix whether he was a partner, he only pays half of his liability, which is one-eighth of the damages, based on Sumchas, who holds Mamun Hamutl Basafik Chalken. Taisa points out in general that Sumchas holds Mamun Hamutl Basafik Chalken only where the nitfa is not muchzik. The defendant does not have the money or item in question in his possession. It's in a neutral area. However, if the nitfa is muchzik, Sumchas agrees to hamoytzi mechaveroi olav harayah.